Well, it's now 6:01. So that means the meeting started 1 minute ago, right? Or maybe not. So let's get started. I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. These kind of informational meetings are important to the body here, and so I just want to welcome you, and let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you tonight. We humble ourselves, and we thank you for who you are and for loving us. And I thank you tonight for each one that's here, for this church body. Thank you for the work that you're doing at here in Delaware. And as we tonight do the tasks of conducting some business, we just pray we would honor you, pray we would do things well, that we would glorify you in all that we do here. So we commit this meeting to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And first up tonight is Pastor Brad. Where is Pastor Brad? Oh, there he comes. He's got a testimony to share with us.
Evening, everybody. I was asked to share a testimony just about a neat story that's kind of happening. My home church, back about 160 miles away in Williamstown, West Virginia, it has been going through a major transition. And the elders of the church, the church staff, and myself have been praying for them for a long time. So we just kind of wanted to share an update there of kind of what's going on. It's just a neat story. I'll tell you a little bit about my home church. It has been through some major transitions for a while now. They started the church, and probably 27 years ago. As they started the church, they called a man to be pastor, and after a few years of establishing things, he was no longer deemed fit for the ministry by the congregation for some legitimate reasons, and he stepped down, and his youth pastor became the pastor for the next 18 years. That's the guy I grew up under. And the church grew to about 230 people. After 18 years, he stepped down, and they went through a time of transition again, where they had their new pastor there for 5 years. Now, during that up and down process, people came, people went, but they kept their solid core there, I would call it. But probably about 6 months ago now, there continued to be issues with the senior pastor there. Without getting into all the details, basically it was a situation where I'm going to run the show my way. If you don't like it, you can leave situation, which was really difficult on the congregation to the point where the pastor decided to leave. So the church that I grew up with, that in its heyday was about 230 people, was now sitting at 75 people without a pastor, and they were coming to the point where, honestly, the leaders that had led them through the transitions to where they've been now, or the leadership that's kind of held things together, was not at a point where they could lead anymore. So my advice to my parents and my family was, hey, if this is going to die, let it die. Don't hold on and sit there and, you know, hold on to something when it's supposed to die. And there was a lot of prayer there. The elders here at the church, we were praying for it during our elder staff meeting, or our elder meetings, the prayer meetings together. The church staff was praying for it. And a couple weeks after the pastor left and things had really gotten bad there, they got a knock on a door from a pastor from my hometown, which is about the distance from going up here to, if you go to Hills Miller Road from right here where we're at. And this guy's name was Pastor Tebow. No, it's not the football player. It's actually spelt much different. It's T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T. But he was pastoring a church of about 125 people, and he had been established in the area for 7 years. And he was pastoring Evergreen Bible Church, and he said that he would like to merge the two churches together. And they were both sitting in a deacon format, but he saw the need for them to go to a plurality of leadership and elders, much like we do. And he wanted to merge these two churches together. Basically, what was going to happen was they were full out in their building. They were sitting at 125 people. They were at capacity. And as they were sitting at 125 people, they were looking at probably everything said and done. If they were going to build a new building and purchase land and everything else, they were probably looking at around $4 million. So a church of 125, I don't think that's going to work too well. But hey, my home church has great facilities. Everything is paid off and everything is good to go. So they threw the idea around of this, and the leadership on both sides was very, very excited about this opportunity. My home church was sitting at looking at it from a year from now, and the earliest being able to get a senior pastor in there, being able to get people, you know, they were just going through different pastors within the area, different pulpit supply guys to make this work. And here they were going to have a pastor now that was established in the area for 7 years, brought a congregation of 125. And a few weeks ago, they had their first kind of meeting together, as they had explained this and they had done this, and they were at the 220, 230 number, where it was when I was younger, and it was kind of at its peak. So as my family was talking to me about this, and as they were talking about the vote that was going to happen for the congregation to allow this, it was a story where I would tell them, you know, this God was answering your prayers or our prayers here greater than anything we were asking for, because we were just asking for there to be a solution there or something, and God had a completely different plan in mind. Well, long story short, last week they voted on if they were going to make this change or not. And what had to happen was that both of the churches had to affirm this together. They each had to have a 90% vote. My church voted 100% for this, and their church voted 97%, only one person turning it down. So now, next week, you won't see me here, because what's going to be happening is they're going to be having kind of their farewell service of the two churches before they combine together. I've been asked to go down there and preach that final service, which is a great honor. But after that, they're going to merge together. And the other church is going to sell their building. Both buildings are completely paid off. So while they were looking at a very poor situation, now both buildings are going to be paid off. And today they are working on hiring an assistant pastor who also used to go to my home church. So now what we're seeing is literally God bringing both congregations together, and within a few short months of what seemed like, well, one church was going to die, he's birthing a completely new one from the two. So it's just a neat story of what's been happening there and how God is working there. So I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Scott now. You're on the agenda.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. isn't that a great honor that this church, Pastor Brad's home church, this is the one that was on its way out, the one that was going through painful transition. Isn't it amazing that God did that, that he brought these two? Do you know how hard it is to bring two churches together and merge one church? When Brad first told me the idea, honestly, I have seen this. I've seen two churches try to come together before. It is messy. And if it's not done with incredible amounts of communication and patience and skill, it will not work. Because what will quickly develop in a combined body is factions along the individual congregations. It takes a tremendous amount of humility and a tremendous amount of a desire to do things God's way for two bodies to be able to come together. And not only are they coming together, Pastor Brad alluded to it, but they're changing their church polity in the process. In other words, both churches are going from a Baptistic kind of a church government where you have the pastor is the elder and then deacons underneath him to a plural elder situation like Delaware Bible Church is. That in itself, to lead an individual congregation from a single pastor set up to a plural elder a single elder setup to a plural elder setup. That's huge. But they're combining two congregations and doing that at the same time. We need to keep praying for these two churches because it's a tough situation. So thank you, Pastor Brad, and that's why he's not going to be with us next weekend or this coming Sunday. I want to introduce to you, I think out on the handout table, everybody got a resume from Aaron Hedges. Is that right? Shake your head yes or shake your head no. If not, they're out there. Pastor Brad can, or somebody can bring them in if you want to raise your hand, get one. I wanted to give you a little bit of background and tell you a little bit about our pastoral search. In other words, just kind of warm things up a little bit because he's coming in next Sunday. He'll be coming in pretty cold. I mean, you've not met him. You don't know him. We've not introduced him. So here is a picture of Aaron and Alicia. That's how you pronounce it. Alicia Hedges. And I think this picture is rather dated, if you ask me, because I don't know if Aaron has less hair now or what, but there's something about him that's different. But anyway, we have, if you remember last year at budget time, we had budgeted, moved some money around, and we even presented a deficit budget in order to try to fund a third pastor. And I know it's been kind of quiet to you guys on that forefront, but we have been looking in fits and spurts kind of all year long, and it's just not been going well. We would get a group of guys, and we'd look them over, and some would rise to the top, and we'd start talking to them. And, you know, at some point there was a fatal flaw in the, not that they were bad guys, but there was just something about them that didn't fit us. I can remember one guy Pastor Brad and I were Skype interviewing, and I think we were 5 minutes into the Q&A before it was just very clear that doctrinally, for example, we weren't on the same page at all. So I just said, hey, here's the elephant in the room. We're this, you're that. Is that true? And he said, well, yeah, that's the way I am. So that's what I believe. So, okay, so you would agree. I said, you would agree it would not be a good idea for us to try to shepherd the same congregation with that wide a berth of theological diversity between the two of us. Yep, that's probably a good idea. Okay, see ya. So we went through this numerous times, talking to guys and whatever. Well, in this latest round, we stumbled across this fella here, Aaron Hedges, who his resume says he's from Portsmouth. That's where he's ministering right now, but he's really originally from Canton, Maslin area. And Aaron, we have talked to him over the phone, Skype. I've had some pretty serious phone conversations with him. And he's been here to interview face-to-face with some folks on the search committee. And we're just real impressed with Aaron. So what we are, and Alicia as well, we also met there, they have a one-year-old little girl named Ellie. So that'll be real easy. Pastor Scott has a little girl named Ellie, and this guy has a little girl named Ellie. So, but mine's an Elizabeth, and his is an Eleanor, I think, something like that. Anyway, you can see his resume there. He's a Cedarville grad. He's currently taking distance ed classes at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit, and his complete background, if you look at all of the churches where he served or whatever, his complete background is Baptist churches. And, you know, that causes some of us as elders to pause and ask some good questions. Not that Baptists are bad. I used to be regular Baptist in a regular Baptist church. Not that Baptists are bad. But we just wanted to make sure that we wanted to question him thoroughly and make sure that we were knew what we were getting into, knew what he was getting into. Made sure that he understood how a plural elder setup worked because he's not been exposed to that before. And as I was explaining that to him, he seemed to be very, very excited to be able to serve the Lord in a plural elder setup. And I just want to say again, I know this is probably boring to you, but this is like the books I read, you know what I mean? I am convinced that plural elders in a church is the way to go. I really, really am. For a whole host of reasons, which I could bore you with for hours if you'd like to sometime. But I'm not saying that just because Delaware Bible Church is a plural elder church. I'm saying it because I've seen Pastor Brad's church, home church, is a great example. Had his pastor, the one that left, had his pastor been in a plural elder setup, I think things would have gone differently because that man would have been tempered in his approach to what he was doing. But anyway. when you're the all-powerful supreme commander, that's kind of what you get. You can get yourself into a position where you get bossy with the congregation. That's not good. So the plan is, I wanted to kind of run down the plan of what's going on, and then if you have any questions about him, I'd be happy to answer them. But first, let me say this. Aaron is a unique guy. He's in a youth pastor position right now, and he desperately, his desire is to minister to families. Not that he doesn't see the value in having youth gatherings, youth group, whatever. He definitely wants to do that, but he also has a desire to minister to families, to equip parents, for example, and to do things like that. And the church that he's in right now, how do I say this diplomatically? They are not friendly to that idea. When Aaron tries to reach out to families, what he gets from the leadership is, look, your job is with the youth group. Go be with the youth group. Hang out with the youth group. That's your job. Don't try to reach out to moms and dads. And we're actually looking for, you know, when we set about looking for a guy, a man, we were looking for someone who would be equally passionate about reaching teens and also equipping parents, serving parents, working with families. And so he was actually looking for a senior pastor role when he started his search. And the reason is because he just concluded that every church must be like his church. And so the only way that he figured that he could minister to families was to be the senior pastor. So that's what he was going for. But when he learned about our position, we learned about him, and we started talking, he got very excited about Delaware Bible Church because it seems that we're offering a position that would allow him to do what he's passionate about. He recognizes that a youth pastor only spends a limited amount of time each week with a student, and parents spend infinitely more time. And so equipping parents is a key part of effective youth ministry in his philosophy. So they're coming this coming weekend, and let me just run down the plan for you real quick just so you know kind of what's happening. We will gather as elders on Saturday morning, late morning, I think, to question him and maybe have some lunch. That'll probably be like hopefully about a four-hour grill session. Then we'll give him some rest because they've got a little one. They're going to need to get a little bit of rest. And then we'll have a cookout with some key leaders, youth leaders, Awana. We'll try to get some folks together and have the hedges over and have some fellowship. Then the next morning, Aaron will preach in both services, 8 o'clock and 10:45. And then we're going to have a combined Sunday school hour in here where Aaron and Alicia will both give a brief testimony of how they came to know Christ and what their journey has been up to this point. And then it's your turn. We'll give the mic to you, and you guys can ask them anything you want within reason. I think he's an Indians fan, if anybody's interested. I'm not, but Pastor Brad is wanting to fire him only for that reason, or not consider him only for that reason. But I told him that's not a good reason. So then, and I know this is really coming together quick, but if we didn't get this done in April, we were going to have to wait basically through the whole month of May, and then we're into summer. So we're trying to get this done quick. Carry-in lunch will be after church on Sunday. So if you'd like to come, that's going to be open to everybody. We'll have it in the comments. We'll have everybody bring a dish. We'll get more information out to you about that early this week so that you can plan. It's optional. It's if you want to get to know the hedges a little bit more. I think that'd be a good time. And then after that whole weekend goes, we as elders will gather and kind of decide, is this a guy we want to place in front of you for a vote or not? Or maybe we feel like, I don't know what we're going to feel like after that, after next weekend. But we'll consider what to do next. If we do decide, however, to move to a vote, then the vote will be held basically a month from tonight on May the 17th, which would be the third Sunday night in May. By the way, while they're here, it's Aaron and Alicia and one little girl, Ellie. While they're here, we are still looking for housing. So if anybody would be interested in putting up with the hedges for the night, it would be Friday night. I'm sorry, Saturday night. Saturday night, let me know. They did say they wanted to be sensitive and say they do have a little girl who gets up frequently during the night, so if that's going to bother you, probably maybe put them in a house with other kids or something, parents that are used to that stuff. That's all I have. I just wanted to give you a brief sketch of who they are and what they're like before they got here. Any questions about the Hedges? Yes. I think he's got. He said he would have to give 2 weeks' notice, I think their attitude is that they are ready to go. They're ready to give their 2 weeks, and not that they're unhappy there. Although you can ask them about this next week. The church has placed a tremendous workload on them, and then. In addition to that, has limited who they can minister to, so it is somewhat frustrating for them. They have a volunteerism problem at their church. I think every church to some degree or another has a volunteerism problem, but when I look at our church and I look at his church and the way he describes it, you guys are like awesome. Well, only God is awesome, but you guys are really good at volunteering compared to them. A lot of burden falls on Aaron and Alicia to get things done. I think they're excited about this church, too, because, you know, I don't know if this registers with you or not, but we're a very multi-generational church. That is so cool to see little bitty babies. I mean, my wife was pulling her hair out today because I preached too long, and there was like 20 kids in children's church, like 20 kids in children's church today. She said like a year ago there were 7. There's 20 kids in children's church today. That might be some guests that we had from DCS, but it's exciting to see that. Other questions about the Hedges?
Scott, you might want to
share. That's right. That's right. Yes, we. Mr. McDonald is right. I should remind you of the fact that Aaron would be a shared resource with Delaware Christian School. In other words, he would be filling a role at Delaware Christian School for 3 periods a day of middle school Bible teacher. That means he would be preparing one lesson a day that he would teach to the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th grade in the afternoons, I believe it is. So he'll be youth and family pastor part-time here at the church. I mean, he'll be a full-time employee, but his time will be divided between youth and family pastor here at the church and middle school Bible teacher at DCS. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yeah, okay, yeah. Steve brought up a good point. It may work out that Alicia, who is a certified teacher in the state of Ohio, certified elementary, is that right?
Lower elementary.
Preschool. And preschool. It may work out that a part-time position at the school is opening for Alicia, possibly. I think that's something that's in discussion phase, but that would be something that would be useful to both the school and to the Hedges. It's a neat couple. Gordon and Jane Minor were in on the interviews, and I think they're very impressed with him. He's got Christian school experience. He's taught in the classroom before, and he was actually, there's been a lot of neat things that have come together. Aaron has actually been thinking about considering how could he get back into education part-time again, and so anyway. Last call for questions. Get your really good theological, deep theological, philosophical questions ready for next Sunday morning. Yes, Ed. I have not yet, because his pastor doesn't know he's looking. In full disclosure, it is Aaron has given me a bunch of. Aaron's church doesn't know that he's leaving, so don't Google him and then call up the church and then okay. So, and I don't like that any more than y'all do, but the reality in ministry life is sometimes that's the way it goes. Now I want to tell you before you get all nervous about that. I want to tell you that. I prefer to operate, and I did when I came here. When I heard about the opportunity here at Delaware Bible Church, the first person I talked to was Tracy. The second people I talked to were the elders of my church. So I don't intend to pop a fast one on you like that, but anyway, you probably stuck with me for a long time. But I'm going to call his references this week. He gave me a list of references that I could call. Yes. And eventually we will be talking to his pastor before he gets here, after they make the announcement, obviously, just to make sure he's not an axe murderer or part of ISIS. It's not funny. That's happening. It's like in Ohio, it's happening. Anything else on hedges? Okay, now, I got to make an announcement before I turn it over to Bob Johnson. The choir cannot meet because of the Hobbit set here. The choir is going to meet in the fifth grade classroom after this meeting for practice. And now I will turn it over to Bob Johnson, who could have made that announcement on his own. Get out your budget guide, because here comes the man.
All right. As we go through this, if you have any questions, forward. Is that it? There we go. So the way that we attempt to ascertain what will be the, quote, church giving, we've had 9 months of this fiscal year, July 1st through March. We take that, divide by 9, multiply by 12, and we anticipate that will be the giving going forward. So when you see that it goes up 4.2%, that's how we come up with that number. Anybody questions on that? Pretty easy. All right. Next one. Full-time church staff salary increases. Now, that's pastoral staff and others. Now, there was one really great evaluation. You'll see that when we talk about one will get a higher recommended increase. There was no increase last year, but there were bonuses given based on the year-end thank offering. And we are adding a praise team leader salary because Kevin does a lot of work with that organization. Questions? Treasurer position, which has been a part-time position, will transition to full-time business manager. Business manager will have, in addition, salary, more responsibilities, overseeing the government, dealing with all of the things that they have to do. And so we can make that change because there was already in this fiscal year, 2014-15, a salary was in there for that but was not funded at that time. So we will talk about how that gets paid for here in just a second. And the pastor of youth and family, that is the new position that we're talking about. The gentleman's coming in next Sunday to be interviewed. And that will be partially funded by the $11,000 that will be paid as a transfer in from Delaware Christian School because he will be teaching 3 junior high Bible courses. Questions on that? Next one. So money set aside for the long-term building escrow, we'll talk about that, is going to be increased because we have a tremendous facility here and we lived in a fallen world and everything eventually falls apart, including our bodies. Now that money's not going to fix, only temporarily. But the issue is we do need this money because we have a great facility and we want to be good stewards of that. Okay, the next one, the youth budget. We want to have some money to be able, when we hire this person, to be able to minister to the youth and have money to be able to spend to take care and do some things with them. And we're also having a very effective counseling and discipleship, and we need some money to help defray part of those expenses because we are ministering to not only people here, but outreaching to people, and they need ministered to also. And events outreach. We have the 4th of July hot dog, and we have a lot of people here use our parking lot to view the fireworks, and it's a great outreach. And we also have the trunk or treat event in the fall, and we don't ask anybody for any money, and we want to make sure that that is funded. And then the praise team. That is for expenses. That's not the salary. That is for items that they need, as you see all the equipment and the earbuds now that people can actually, having occasionally sung with the praise team, it's nice to be able to hear the music now in your ears instead of hopefully hearing it into a monitor, which never works. And the script program, that used to just be carried in our budget and just carried as a cash item. And we are going to redeploy that $15,000 that just sat there, and we're going to use that to help pay for the new pastors. So let me show you how that all works. This year we projected if we would have hired that pastor, third pastor, and was going to be a music minister, and that's maybe why God did not allow us to find that person to fill. So now we have a pastor of youth and family outreach. And so we were projected to have a budget deficit of $20,000 this year if that position was funded. Well, if giving continues at current trend, even if we would have had that person, we would not have had a deficit. So praise the Lord for all of you who faithfully give to support this ministry and to support the Lord's work. Okay, this little tiny page, I don't know, do you all have that? Well, let me just flip it. You don't have that. All right, let me show you this one. This is the script program. There's script inventory, which Ray does a great job with that, and that's all the cards that we all buy to, when I tell Joyce I'm going to cook today and it'll be at Chipotle and she doesn't have to do the dishes. All of those profits that come from that, there's inventory that he carries in his little box, and then there's also profit that has been made from that. So that profit is $30,000 on the books right now. We are going to, next fiscal year, take $15,000 out of that and redeploy that to help pay for the new position. So where did we, quote, get the additional money to pay for this person? Well, the choir director is taking a voluntary, though we're only going to, choir's only going to sing 3 Sundays instead of 4. So I'm going to take a voluntary pay cut, and I was the one that suggested that. Now, nobody twisted my arm. Secondly, transfer in from Delaware Christian School. This year, they put in $40,000 a year, and with the additional money for the new teaching of the three Bible courses, that's an additional $11,000. So transfer in from DCS will be $51,000. And then the script, quote, profit is another $15,000. And I do encourage you to use script. It really helps. It's going to help our budget. So we add that all. That's $68,139. This year we budgeted in $42,852. So we subtract that from the previous, and we have an additional $25,000 a year to put towards these positions. So that's really tiny. You may want to go to your sheet. Sorry, I can't make it any bigger. That's just the way it worked out. So the 4% increases in each of the senior pastor, the pastor of O and A. That is not Omega and Alpha. That is outreach and administration. That's Pastor Brad. Then the new potential pastor, family Bible teacher, the office administrator, the business manager, accompanist, choir director, praise team, occasionally guest speakers. And at the bottom, it says educational reimbursement and ministry outreach. Pastor Brad and Pastor Scott spend time with people from the church, meeting with them and at various places, like a cup of coffee or whatever, and they need to be reimbursed for that. So that's what that's for. So the projected, requested budget is $256,670 for salaries and benefits. And so last year was $236,91, so that's 11.3% increase. But with all of the monies that we have redeployed from various places and the DCS transfer in, we will be at, next page will be, we are not projecting, we're going to project a zero budget. No, I mean, we're going to be right on what we are projecting. Now, there will be, when we vote on this, and I think it, will that also be the 17th when we vote for the pastor? You'll get all of the details if you want. We didn't want to get into the weeds tonight with all the details, but if any of you want to see it, I have it. And we wanted to disclose everything to you. So questions? Yes, sir. Yes. If he goes through the interview, et cetera, yes. I would imagine that if it doesn't work out and it's somebody else, we'll have something close to this. But again, when we have to vote by July 1st, which is our new budget. Other questions? Did everybody, I should have, anybody not hear that? I'm sorry, I should have repeated the question. Other questions? Okay, thank you so much. Next, Jim Wilson, you want to, right?
Can I make a comment about the budget? So you got about a month. Thanks, Bob. You got about a month to go through, pick that apart, line item by line item, and see if you have any questions. I always encourage people to not wait until the vote meeting to bring those up. If you've got questions, certainly bring those up ahead of time and address those with me or one of the elders, Brad, Pastor Brad, and that would just make, that way we can make a correction, print it, let people know, look at the new one before we take it to a vote on May the 17th. All right. Jim Wilson does a tremendous amount of work around this church. So I'm going to give him a little introduction. Jim Wilson does a tremendous amount of work in keeping our facility and our grounds looking nice, in good repair. And listen, how should I describe the building, the facility of Delaware Bible Church? I mean, it's a great facility, but stuff goes wrong every day, especially when you have, you know, 270 students running through here every day, which I really meant to say this morning, and I totally blew it, but I get somewhat depressed in the summertime when the students aren't here because it's so quiet and the halls are dark and nothing's going on. I mean, there's these guys out there with waxing machines. This is what I see all summer, you know? I always love it when the students are here, and I always love it when they come back. And but there's a lot of wear and tear in our building, and it takes somebody to head up, to be the head honcho, to make sure that everything's getting repaired, either by volunteers or the law firm of Ray Jacobs with Jen Tainer, or a maintenance guy that we bring in from the outside. And that man, who also heads up the facilities committee, is our deacon, Jim Wilson, and he does a great job. And he's going to explain to you now where we're at in terms of state of building escrow. Last time I think Jim made a presentation about escrow, we were facing a pretty major shortfall coming up down the road, and he's going to explain some changes that have happened to that. So, Jim, would you come and share the good news? I gave it away. I'm sorry. It's well, I'll keep him hanging. It's okay news. Wait till see what Jim says.
Do I need that? I need this. Okay. Well, and I can see what. Can you switch to the PowerPoint for me?
Oh, I'll do that.
Okay, I'll talk while you're doing that. 3 years ago, we looked at the idea of a building escrow. My son, who's in finances, can you hear me? Is this too far away? Because you can't hear me. She says no. Okay, now you can hear me. Okay, sorry. He could hear me. Your wife is the one that couldn't hear me. So you guys may need to communicate. At any rate, my son told me that's a misuse of the term, that it's not escrow, what we use it for, but it's become escrow now, so it's written in stone now. We can't change it. That's what it is. So what I wanted to share with you is a little bit about the escrow. When I came to you 3 years ago, it was a pretty sad picture. We had a big plant, physical plant here, which is what we're dealing with, buildings and boilers that are $40,000 and air conditioners and hot water heat going everywhere and heaters in all the rooms, and all that stuff has a life expectancy. And when I looked at it, I thought, wow, we really need to have money laid aside so that when something goes wrong, we write a check and fix it. We don't have to come to you guys every time we need a few dollars. So I guess you might look at it either way. You might say, when I came to you, that was really, really bad news, because we were $100,000 under. We were going to be at a future year. Or you could consider it really, really good news, because it put us on a track of being able to be fiscally responsible. And not only be fiscally responsible, but that then be able to enjoy the benefits of having done that. So the elders are the ones that did that. They made the decisions. We just came up with ideas and stuff, and they sorted through them and booted some and accepted others and whatever. So the elders worked through that and accepted some of the items we gave them to look at. And the bottom line is, it's really, really good news now. So what was kind of tough to hear at first has become really, really good news now. And it's amazing. I want to go back to what Pastor Brad had said. You never really can outguess God, can you? I mean, you never know what he's going to do. And you can't guess. And you said he provided exceedingly and abundantly beyond any of the expectations. That's true for escrow also. God has provided abundantly and exceedingly beyond what our expectations were. And I'll present that and show it to you. So I'm going to have to turn my back on you because I need to use my pointer. And if I point up there, you're not going to see it, right? So I'm going to step over here beside Dan. Is that all right? Because you're going to be looking at up there, I think. Yeah, there we go. So I'm going to turn around. And if you have a question, just yell out, and I'll turn and look at you. So we'll handle it as you go. So feel free to ask questions if you have one. We started out in 2012. We had a little over $4,000 in escrow fund. And we began to, it's the bottom button, You can't. There's a little red. The red. You can't really see it. It's the $2,000 right below that. We had $2,000. We were starting to put $2,000 a month into the escrow fund, and you can see that was the sheet that I gave you at that time. Now what that shows you, top line there, it says 100 building flat roof. We thought at the time it was going to cost $36,300. I'm going right across the top row. We wanted that to increase. We felt the cost of materials and all that would increase 10% each year. That's a high number, but it's a safe number. So we thought the building would be good for 5 years. Therefore, that's 5 years of 60 months. In 60 months, that 36.3 would become 54,450. Does that make sense, what I'm doing going across there? And in order for us to be able to pay for that, we need to put away $908 per month. And then you come down here at the bottom. I'm down here at the bottom, if you can see the red. That was $6,974 a month, which was huge for us to think about. So under normal expectations, we weren't going to get there. But these are the things that we as a facilities committee looked at and said, these are the things that we need to be able to pay for here within. And we've got carpet in there, and there's just all kinds of things that I can give you a copy of it sometime if you want to look through and see what they are. That's fine. It's not secret, but I won't go through all of those. That was the calculation. So we began adding $3,000 a month the next year. The next year after that, we added below it $3,300. We increased it by 10% each month. And you can see this is the $3,000 being added in. And what we did was, the top line, it says, whoop, pushed the wrong button, didn't I? Okay, here. This, from $2,000 to $3,000 per month, that gave us $12,000 at the end of the year. The 2013 year-end giving netted $12,922, and again, oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Brad. The year-end giving, again, the word here is infused. The escrow fund needed dollars. And we were trying to have those dollars there so that when the bill came, we could pay for those things. So you see the $12,922 from year-end giving. When Mike Benedetti left us, there was $25,000 left in the budget for his salary. Again, the elders infused that into the escrow fund, trying to get it to a point where it would be solvent for us. We didn't pay for a heat pump. Heat pumps over in the far building are what give us air conditioning and heat, and those are pretty expensive. Those are $14,000 a pop. We've got seven of them, and we had one of those go bad. And that particular year, I had money in the maintenance budget. I haven't had since then, but I did have it that year. So I paid for it out of maintenance instead of taking it out of escrow. Now, that's wrong. I mean, I did something that was wrong to do. That's not where the money's supposed to come from. But it helped us by keeping that $14,000 in escrow and not pulling it out. So I was trying to help keep escrow, you know, increase its funding also. Then the increase in 2014-15 from $3,000 a month to $3,300 netted $3,600. So the net result was $67,544 that we infused into escrow. Does that make sense? Shake your head yes, that makes sense. Okay. So, now I know that's an eye chart. You can't see any of it. But that's that same chart up in the upper left-hand corner. And what I wanted to show you was, here's time. This low point here, this is the year 2018, and you see that number is $14,495, so almost $15,000. Praise the Lord, the escrow, as we've calculated, as we've spent money, saved money, now instead of looking at a huge deficit, we're looking at $15,000 positive at our lowest point. This is what's left. These numbers here, this graph, this is what's left in escrow each year after we spend the money out of it that we expect to have to pay. Again, that's an estimation of what's going to go bad. As best we can do is to look at it. The guys on the finance or on the facilities committee understand these things, and they say these things are going to wear out in so many years or whatever. So with the best we understand, when these things will go bad, and we pay for them up here, we're going to have $14,500 left. Now, praise the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. We went from $100,000 negative. Now, I know the numbers don't add up just exactly right for those of you that are thinking in your head and you're trying to calculate. It also changes when things are paid. Again, this number is not a total amount that doesn't reflect the total amount paid. It's what's left in the budget after things were paid. So if you take a big item this over here and you spread it out to over here, then this number comes up. Does that make sense? You can't just take the $67,000 I've given you and said, how did that get you from minus $100,000 to plus $15,000? But the real numbers work out that way with the planning that we've done and with the work that the elders have done towards giving us dollars. So praise the Lord. That's really great news. It's wonderful news beyond our expectations. It gets better. Here, again, the upper left-hand corner is the spreadsheet with all the things in it that are going to go bad in so many years and how much they're going to cost and how much they go up. That's that part of it. See the black, what is that, square, I guess, with rounded corners? That tells us that we were expecting there to be $63,260 spent out of escrow. That encompasses all the way through to year 2018. That was our low year. 2018 was our big spending year that was going to put us in the negative. We were expecting to spend $63,260. As part of us understanding what it costs to make things happen around here, I brought in a friend of Bish Adams's that's in the carpet business, and we went through room by room, and he shared with me, this is how much it would cost to replace the carpet. This is how many years left you have in that carpet. This is what's going to cost to put it in. This is the kind of carpet I recommend and how much it is. And we went through every room and made those recommendations. Well, once we'd done that, we found out that a lot of our carpeting needs got pushed out further than we thought they were going to be. And now we only need $5,731 up through year 2018. And the other needs are on down the road. They're still there. We still have to pay for them, but they're spread out over longer years, right? So that the $14,000, that's going to pop up. So with $57,529 change in that number, and there's the 10 years for the carpet, here's what it went to. Isn't that incredible? $71,080. Is now projected. Now, that's not, you know, that's projected if we spend the way we think we're going to spend. And if we're, but you know, if one thing comes in a year early and something else comes in a year late, and you know, on average, it's going to, that's the best we can estimate out in the future. So I was praising the Lord for the $14,000. Praise God, $71,000 is what the elders, with their infusing into the escrow fund, that's what we have now through God's grace and your grace as a community of believers to provide for us to take care of this facility. That's incredible. That's a praise God moment, okay? So we have $71,080. Now, the facilities committee looked at that number and said, it doesn't make sense for us to keep those dollars in there. They're not gathering any interest or anything. We're not, you know, because we've got to have them so that we can replace things. So what is best for us to do? And we thought through it and chewed on it, and then I had the opportunity to go to an elder board meeting and present to them that what I thought we should do is use some of those dollars for the building remodel, for the office remodel. Now, some of you may know what that is, and others of you don't, but I'm going to show you. Where's my ink pen? Here's our building. Here's the entrance. See the yellow line, the entrance? The plan is to put double doors there. This becomes Emily's office. This is got a drywall wall in it right now, but this goes through back here into what's currently the nursery. This becomes Pastor Scott's office. This becomes where the copier goes, and this becomes a waiting room for Scott, or I think also we're going to put coffee in here, I think, but an ante room, if you will. Over here, here's Pastor Brad's office. Right now, this box right here is the current conference room. And this little box right here, from here coming down like this, yeah, right here, that's a closet. We're going to take this closet out, put a wall across here with a door here. This becomes the office for the next pastor. Brad stays the same. This office will now be where the financial, I forget what we're calling them, where the business manager will do his work rather than the office where Ray Schwartz is now. It'll be moved to here. Make sense? Okay, over here, This is where Emily's office is and Pastor Scott currently. We'll put a wall in here because this is going to become the nursery. Take this wall out so this becomes one big room, private room here for nursing mothers or whatever they need privacy for. This wall here becomes a knee wall, this high, not a knee wall, whatever. What do I call that? A knee wall. Andy says, I got my expert back there. He's shaking his head, yes. Okay, so now people would, I forgot what button it was, this one, I hope. So now this whole room becomes the nursery, replacing what this was, and we've got nursing mothers here and a place to bring the children in and out. So that's the idea that we had for an office remodel. It has the benefit of bringing all the pastors, all of them over here together. They've got a copier right here that's close to each one. They don't have to walk clear across the building to get copies. They're all together where they can come into conference or whatever they need to do to talk to one another. It essentially leaves the nursery ministry the same in a different footprint, different part of the building. It'll be straight across here, which really makes it good because it's handier to the congregation should there be needs to get to babies. Questions there? Don?
The nursery itself, is the size changing? Yeah, more or less.
I think it's about the same, wasn't it, Andy? About the same. It looks a little different, but it's about the same. We do have to bring water and stuff over. We got to bring it over top. It's that room. It's Pastor Scott's. We got to bring it from the boiler room over top and over in, but we've got to put that in there, and there's some difficulties with plumbing and that kind of thing that have to be taken account when we do the change.
What I was going to try and get to was, is what is that amount of square footage going to be enough for some future growth?
I can't answer how full our nursery ministry is right now. Pastor Brad.
The answer to that is absolutely, because we currently barely use our nursery ministry. It is probably twos and threes is very utilized. Nursery ministry, probably three on a normal Sunday. So that, to this point, there's plenty of room to grow.
Overflow is Pastor Brad's office. Okay, so this gives you a picture of what we're thinking about doing, what we'd like to do. It serves our ministry here well. This, again, is the whole facility. Now, see, the blue is the 100 building that we're in right now. There's the entrance that you came in tonight. There's our sanctuary where we sit. Here's the commons. There's the three rooms we just talked about. Those three rooms right there is what we just talked about, changes that are going to be made. Also, right there, that room is the current copier room. Now, since that copier comes down into somewhere in here, close to Pastor Scott's office and close to the other pastors, the copier for the school is going to come down here where Ray Schwartz is sitting right now when he's doing business. So it'll move down here. Again, brings it closer to their offices, closer to everybody. Leaves this great big room with nothing in it, but we lost a conference room. What do you think we should do with that big room? Wow. Got plans for a great big conference room table and chairs and all that kind of stuff, so that, again, it aids getting business done here to church. When we need to have the elders meet together, whoever meets together, we're hoping to turn that into a conference room. There's the new copier room. So that's the plan. Again, we came from, praise the Lord, instead of a negative $100,000 or so dollars, now we've got positive $15,000. The elders infused money into the program. That, along with a realization of when carpet was going to need to be replaced, that changed our numbers in the escrow sheet. That and some other changes that we need to make as we learned what things cost, and changed it to $71,000. There's what I just showed you with the office remodel. And there's the buildings affected, the rooms affected by all that. Questions for me? Oh, got a big hand up. Yes, ma'am.
I do. I'm sorry to bring this up, but two and three is going to stay in the current room. You're going to bring the nursery over to the hot office, correct?
That's correct.
Our current new regulations
All right, we'll look into that. Thank you for doing that. It's amazing that the Bible paints the church, you know, as a body. And that's what we need. You know, we needed your little finger over there saying, well, wait a minute, what about diapers? So thank you for that. We will care for that in our look. Thank you. Other questions for me, other than praising God for his wonderful... Brad, you were standing first. Go ahead.
Just another thing we want to add with that. When we add the double doors out front here, Delaware Christian this year, for part of their legacy fund, they are putting a new security system through the doors for where we're currently at, including new security cameras and buzz-ins. So now, if you don't have a key, I know some of you have come through the building during the day, and it's been very annoying because you have to go to the school end, sign in, come in, and then you come down to our offices. Well, Delaware Christian is paying for us through this remodel to basically be able to have a buzz-in up here. So if you need to do church work, you don't have to go down to the school. You buzz in right there with Emily. You walk in. There's Emily's door. Talk to Emily. It helps both us and them. It helps with security, some of the people that we deal with for benevolence calls and things. It also helps the school end. They don't have to be receiving all of our people. So it helps both of us be more productive as well. And also along with that, on the remodel, we're adding basically some extra juice in the commons area where we could continue to add down the line. Let's say we needed to do a kitchen remodel or we needed to plug extra things in. We're pretty maxed out in there. So that would allow us to be able to do some different things in there as well.
Yes, we're trying to include as much future planning as we can into the current office remodel and change. Quite a question, right? Yes. Ah, do you have a van? Yes, we will certainly make arrangements for all of those kinds of things as we. That's a fallback position for any questions we don't know. Pastor Brad's office. Okay. That's where they'll be stored. I don't know if they'll be changed in there or not. Okay. I'm sorry. Any other? I've taken too long. Any other questions? Any other things that we might be able to answer for you? You understand kind of what we're planning, what we're thinking towards doing? And I can't tell you how excited I am that God's provided that money. Our elders have gotten behind it. They've infused this escrow budget to the point where it's overflowing. And praise the Lord, we've got something we really need to do with it. So he's a wonderful God we serve, is he not? Yes, Gordon. That came out of the year-end. Came out of the building fund. We're getting new windows all the way across here. You know, we have a hard time. I know this morning, some of you ladies, I know we're sitting there chilled to the bone this morning, but they had the air conditioner on, and you walk out into the commons out there, and it was hot out there, so they were trying to, I knew what they were trying to do as soon as I felt it cold in here. But hopefully that will help with some of that, with the temperature, and we've got to look at some other options that perhaps to get the temperature more consistent in here. But that was, because those doors are open, it's just not designed to handle that. So that's why you suffered this morning, so extra people could be here and be a part of what we were doing this morning. Any other questions for me? No. They're building them right now. I'm done. I think I'm done.
Have a seat. I want to say a couple things. I want to say a couple things about the potential office remodel. My wife is on FaceTime. She's at work. Hi, honey. Yeah, she's waving at me. Okay. She's at work, and it's slow day, so she asked me if I could FaceTime with her. Let's see, what did I want to say? Where they're at in the where they're at in the process is, I believe one bid has come in, our financial policies and procedures for the office remodel. They've got one bid. Pastor Brad has some floor, I think we gave you a handout with what the floor plan would look like. There's some other plans out in the commons laying on the table. Oh, it's on the missionary board. He tacked it up to the missionary board. Okay. If you want to see that in some detail, we got one bid in hand, and we are working on getting two more because our financial policies and procedures dictate that we don't do anything without anything of that dollar value beyond three bids. So we'll kind of keep you posted as to when that stuff comes in. The other thing I wanted to share, I know this is a hard thing. Can you go back to Jim's PowerPoint? Where are you going?
I wasn't done, I actually wasn't done yet. Just hold that thought. I wanted you guys to know that our pastor, we drug him kicking and scratching all the way over spending this money. It was the right thing to do, but he did not want us. I mean, he's in support of it, but he didn't want us to spend the money, huh? He's cheap. He's grew up with on a pig farm, and they do everything they can with baling wire and baling twine, and so this wasn't something that the pastors were pushing. This is something the facility group was pushing because we recognized that it needed to happen. So I wanted you, as he began talking about it, I wanted you to understand that he wasn't the one that was pushing this to happen. We were. He submitted.
Okay, so how many people think it's going to be very fitting that I get relocated to the nursery? Raise your hand. It's already bad enough I work next to kindergarten every day. I love working next to kindergarten. I'm going to miss kindergarten. Now I'll be next to second grade, I think. I'll be next to preschool. That's even better than kindergarten, preschool, because we've got a pretty good enrollment for preschool next year already. Yeah. I wanted to point out something, and you know, Jim's right. When they said, let's spend this money, I said, you know, this would be a great thing to have, but, you know, I'm cheap. So here's why I believe this is a really good idea for the church staff and for everybody. I know, let me go back. Jim had a really good slide up, I think. I'm going to back up and, here we go. Okay, so everybody knows this, I think, but I work here. And Emily and I work together here. Brad works here. And every time we hit print on our computers, we have to walk here. Now, I spent 5 years as an industrial process engineer was my title right out of college. And anybody in the world can tell you, that's like the most inefficient way to do anything. Brad and I, there have been days where I'll start out, Brad and I will have to confer on something, and I'll start down the hall going this way, and he'll start down the hall going this way. I don't know why he takes a long way, but maybe he's got to pick up a copy, you know, on the way to come see me. And I get to his office and go, I walk in and go, dang, damn it, where's Brad? And he gets into my office, and he says to Emily, where's Scott? And, he just went to your office. So then I'll start backtracking the other, you know. It can be like Keystone Cops. Well, here he comes. He's going to make comments.
It takes me 10 minutes anytime I go to the copier because I have to walk down, normally have to dodge second grade or another grade, go through there. Someone always says something to you on the school end. So you think about that. Let's say I'm working on an advertisement or something for the church, and I have to go to the copier 4 or 5 times. It's incredibly inefficient. That's an hour gone some days, if not multiple hours, just walking to the copier. It's good exercise, though.
Plus, I'll get to keep a better eye on the staff because he'll be right across the hall from. But honestly, this move is going to put us all, you know, when you come in on a school day to do business, you know, to see somebody at the church, whatever, you can come right in, hang a left, you'll be right in Emily's office, you can walk right down this hall to see me, or down the hall and across the hall, or however you want to get there to see Pastor Brad, maybe the new guy, or business manager, and our copier is going to be right there in our common area. I hate to spend money, I mean, you ask my dad, but this is, I think, a good move. And the side benefit out of the whole deal is our nursery gets spruced up. We get a spruced up, good-looking nursery. Nursery for a lot of young parents is a first impression that they see when they come into our church. And so we'll have a, a nice new nursery with a fresh coat of paint, some clean carpet. And if we can get the diaper smell out of the current nursery, I'll be happy as I work in there every day. Dan, I'm handing it off to you to land the plane, brother.
So much for the pastoral exercise program. Okay. You could do that.
Speaking of business manager, we already hired him. He's right there. Hey, Malcolm, how you doing? Malcolm, yeah, give him a hand. With all the stuff going on DCS Sunday, I keep forgetting to mention that we interviewed Malcolm. He's a current employee at Mettler Toledo down Columbus. And Malcolm is taking on the ministry of trying to, in some small way, pick up what Ray has been doing and then also try to remove burden off of the new school administrator and me, hopefully, and care for much of the business end of our school. We have inspections by everybody. They send people I swear they send people in to inspect cap erasers on an annual basis, and Malcolm will handle all that. So congratulate Malcolm. He'll be starting in a few weeks after you've given notice, right? Yep. So he's less than 2 weeks out. So.
Okay. Well, a lot of people have put in a lot of time getting to this place where we are tonight. A lot of information has been passed to you. And it's great that we do this because this is incumbent upon us as a body to do these things, to do them together. It's where we are as a congregation. But I want to just mention something else we need to bear in mind to kind of maybe balance things a little bit. These are the things that we do here tonight. But we have brothers and sisters all around this world facing big time different circumstances. And some of those bodies have to talk about things like, where are we going to meet next week and not get caught? You know? Or mourn over some that have been lost this week. So I just, as I was sitting here tonight, listening to these necessary things, and I don't want to minimize the importance of them, but our purpose as a church is to serve God, to reach others, and to be responsible in the place where He's put us. He put us here in Delaware, Ohio. We can't work in exactly the same paradigm as some of these other brothers and sisters that I've mentioned, but let's bear that in mind tonight as we close up this meeting. I want to thank you all for coming. It's just good to do these things together. And Brad, what is the name of your church over there? Faith Bible. And how about the other church? Faith Bible and Evergreen Bible. What are they going to be called when they come together? Ever Faithful. How about that? So we'll pray for them tonight too. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to come together here this evening. You've blessed us in many ways. You've blessed us with people. You've blessed us with finances. You've allowed us to live in a place of safety. And we realize that's not the case for all of your children. And we pray for those in far-flung places, places that most of us will never go, and people that will never know this side of heaven. And certainly many of them are fearful and sad, but yet rejoicing in you. And we just remember them tonight, and we pray for them that you would give them strength and resolve, that they would be encouraged through your word. And we pray that we would be faithful in the tasks that you've given us to do. And that as we move through this life, that we would always be mindful that you have a place for us and things for us to do. That we would seek them out and be faithful to you. And we also pray tonight for Faith Bible and Evergreen Bible Church and over in Marietta. We thank you for them, and we thank you for what you're doing in their congregations there. Pray that you would allow them to come together and increase the strength of their body, and that you would use them for your service and for your glory. So again, we're thankful. We thank you for loving us. We commit this evening to you, and we pray that as we go forward into another week, that we would serve you faithfully in these days. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.